And joining us now, Sportsnet's very own, covering the Montreal Canadiens, he is Eric Engels. How's it going, Eric? Happy New Year.
It's going well. Happy New Year to you guys, too, and I would agree with that assessment.
Yeah, it's an interesting spot that the Canucks are in. You know, Canucks and Habs are kind of the two surprise Canadian teams right now and how well that they have played and keeping themselves in a playoff race. How do you feel about where the Habs are so far this year and how they've played?
Yeah, I would even say they're the two surprise teams of the league, period.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of similarities between them. Obviously, not necessarily in the superstar talent that you see in Pettersson versus what the Canadiens have up front, but you look at Max Domi, who's come over and been a point-of-game player for the Canadiens and how much of an engine he's been for them, you can see why they are where they are in the thick of a very tight race in the Eastern Conference. And this is a huge game for both teams, and I'm excited to watch it.
Eric, you know, looking at this Montreal Canadiens team, and you mentioned a few of the names there, what do you think the key factor has been in this team's kind of optimism around this team? Even though there have been injuries, they still continue to find a way to play. What has been that it factor with this team?
Well, you know, you go back to last year, and I don't really enjoy going back to last year, but going back to it, you know, at the end of the season, Marc Bergevin referenced the word attitude about 50 times in a 50-minute end of season press conference. And I think that's been the biggest factor in where the Canadiens find themselves right now, that, you know, no matter how tough things have gotten so far this year, whether it's in games or in segments, they just seem to always rally and bounce back and find a way. And they've won a lot of games coming from behind this season. They just haven't given up. And I think that speaks to the leadership they have in their room when it comes to Carey Price and Shea Weber and, you know, a bunch of guys who have stepped up, Brendan Gallagher, Paul Byron. But also, you know, there's a pride factor there that last year was as embarrassing as it was, and there wasn't much turnover in the offseason outside of Galchenyuk and Pacioretty. And a lot of these guys understood how miserable that was and didn't want to be a part of anything similar this year. And I think that motivation has gone a long way towards creating the attitude we've seen from them so far, and the results are there to speak for it.
I've long been an admirer of what Claude Julien brings to the bench as a coach. He seems to be doing a pretty decent job again now in Montreal, now that he's kind of got this team playing the way he would like it to.
He's an excellent coach, and he made some very smart decisions in the offseason, bringing in Luke Richardson, Dominic Ducharme to join Kirk Muller on the bench. And there's a whole different vibe, you know, behind the bench with Claude Julien there and those guys. And the style that they wish to employ with the pieces that they have here, you know, they're a fast-skating, fast-moving team, and they made some adjustments to how they break out, how they break in, how they forecheck, and how they operate in the offensive zone that have led to them being one of the highest even strength scoring teams in the National Hockey League this year. And, you know, when you look at your pieces and you play to their strengths, you have a better chance of success. And I think, you know, you look through the first half of the season, which will end after tonight's game against Vancouver, it's hard not to look at Claude Julien as the MVP of the whole situation here. And I think he's going to get some really strong consideration for the Jack Adams Award. And I think, you know, if things continue the same way for Vancouver, Travis Green will be in that conversation as well, if things continue for both these teams.
You're listening to Reach Deeper, joined by Eric Engels of Sportsnet. If you mentioned Claude Julien being the MVP of the situation, would Marc Bergevin be the comeback player of the year? Because it seemed like he was pretty much done last year, yet he makes some shrewd moves in the offseason, and this team is contending for a playoff spot again.
Well, if they continue, he should be up for GM of the year, if not win the award. He had his worst, you know, it's his seventh year as GM of the Canadiens, and in 2017 he had his worst summer as general manager, and it led to the debacle that we saw last year. And it wouldn't be a stretch to say that 2018 was his best summer. I mean, you look at the trade he pulled off with Max Pacioretty involved. I understand you're giving up a perennial 30-goal scorer at age 29 at the time. But there was something that needed to change here. And under the very public circumstances of a divorce with the Canadiens and Pacioretty, he pulled out a phenomenal deal when he got Nick Suzuki in a 2019 second-round pick. The fact that Thomas Tatar was the throw-in to that deal, and he got Vegas to retain the salary on the remaining 3 years of Tatar's contract of upwards of $1.5 million total, that might be the best trade that was made in the summer across the NHL. And then you look at Domi for Galchenyuk straight up. Yeah, it's early, but the jury is almost practically completely out on that one. It's a landslide win for Montreal so far, and I think it will be one for the future, because one of the biggest factors in that deal, if not the biggest factor, was, you know, you had two players changing teams, and both teams hoped that the player they were acquiring could help them down the middle of the ice. Well, Galchenyuk is a winger very shortly into that experiment, and Max Domi is a point-of-game center with the Montreal Canadiens. So that's a massive couple of wins for Mark Bergevin. He's made a couple ancillary moves on top of that to really support what the Canadiens have, bringing in a lot of depth at forward and on defense, so that when injuries hit, they've got NHL-capable players, and they've had to use them so far this year. Brett Kulak is one example, a guy who's come in and played really well on defense, coming in a trade for Calgary for, you know, not very much going the other way. So, yeah, if you want to consider Mark Bergevin to be one of the – if you want to consider him the comeback GM of the year, sure. I think he's probably going to be in line for GM of the year when all is said and done, if the Canadiens – are able to sustain the way they've played so far this year.
Yeah, and now that they've got Shea Weber back, 16 games, he's got 11 points, he's playing over 25 minutes. It's like he's turned back the clock a little bit. This is unbelievable how well he's played just right back in, like he never missed a beat.
He's been amazing. And, you know, Shea Weber is an amazing hockey player, and I think, you know, that was certainly – put on the back burner when P.K. Subban was traded for him straight up because of the 4 years that Bergevin was giving up. But, you know, I think most people knew what the Canadiens were getting in Shea Weber when he came. And at the time the deal was made, I said the same thing I'm going to say right now, which is that he was a better fit for what the Canadiens were trying to do and how they were trying to play. If the Canadiens had obtained a second-round pick or a good prospect in that deal on top of Weber, you know, it would be probably painted in a completely different light than what it was, given that they gave up 4 years in P.K. Subban. But, you know, you've mentioned the points the Weber's put up so far. Wow, he's slotted everybody back into their proper chair on defense since coming back. The team is averaging over 40 shots a game since he's been back and allowing less than 30, at least in most of the games that he's played. And he just has this stabilizing effect. And for so long, we've heard about the presence of Shea Weber without really a concrete definition on what that is. Now we're seeing the visual evidence of exactly what it is, that his presence alone makes a big difference. But when he's playing the way he's playing, and he's been absolutely excellent, it's a total game changer, and what a player this guy is.
Yeah, and you can see why they made him captain over the course of the summer as well. He is Eric Engels. He joins us here on Reach Deep. And, of course, Carey Price, he's getting the start tonight, it looks like, against the Vancouver Canucks, getting back into the lineup. It's weird. Like, I'm overly positive about how well the Canadiens have played, but it's not based on Carey Price playing at a Vezina level. I know he's gotten better as the season's gone on here, Eric, but he hasn't had to be their best player every night for them to win games, and that's something you couldn't say about the Habs teams from a few years ago.
No, and that's absolutely true. And, you know, you take a glance at the numbers, a .904 save percentage, and you don't think much of the season he's had. Well, October, he was excellent. December, he was excellent, probably his best month in a long time. And he's just been really, really, he's found his game. Sorry for the interruption, guys. Just going
okay.
Into the garage here at the Bell Center. No, he's found his game and really, truly been excellent. And yeah, they haven't had to rely on him, but they're going to have to rely on him moving forward as the season progresses here. You know, it's a long run, and he's going to have to be their best player if they're going to make the playoffs. And what he showed in December, the high danger chances he shut down, the way he played, it's a major encouraging sign for the Canadiens. And it's too bad that he missed the last three games with an injury that had hampered him for 7 weeks, which would explain his November numbers, as that's about when it started for him, because he was really playing his best hockey before that interruption. So let's see what he offers against the Canucks tonight.
Eric, we've been focusing on the rookie sensation here in Vancouver, Elias Pettersson, but of course, Jesperi Kotkaniemi is playing his rookie season in Montreal as well. How has he dealt with the challenges of playing NHL hockey?
He has dealt with them exceptionally well. I can't really think of a downside, and I wrote about it this week. You know, here's a kid that at 18 years old, the youngest player in the league, he turned 18 in July before he was, you know, just after he was drafted. And, you know, when he was drafted, I think a lot of people were surprised that he went third overall. And they also were of the belief that it would be at least a year before he was playing in the NHL after just 1 year in the Finnish Elite League and not even playing center there. So the fact that he's come into Montreal, been put at the center ice position right from the start, excelled. The one thing that I've seen from Kotkaniemi with each passing day here is that he continues to improve and adjust quickly to little things. You know, early on in the season, he was taking some penalties that were typical of a player that's played only in Europe. His stick parallel to the ice, taking some hooking calls that normally would go uncalled where he was playing. And, you know, he went through a stretch where he had two games where he took three penalties in a row, and he hasn't taken a hooking minor since. So it's like, it's an example of how fast this kid has adjusted. His attitude is unbelievable. He's just a great kid. His character is beyond reproach and unimpeachable, I would say. And there are so many signs that he is going to develop into a top-flight player as soon as he fills out that 6'2" frame that he's got. I mean, he's a kid. He's stringy. He is not intimidated by the physicality of the game whatsoever. And as he matures and gets physically stronger, he's going to pan into a player that, you know, I think his favorite player in the NHL and his hero is Alexander Barkov and looks up to Anze Kopitar. I think he's going to be exactly that type of player. Maybe not quite, you know, the 95-point variety Anze Kopitar type player, but he's going to be on average, I think, around 75 to 80 points, and he's just going to do it on at both ends of the ice. And this was a heck of a gutsy call by the Canadian scouting staff to go with this kid. But Marc Bergevin said for years, you know, you can't trade for top line centers, and it's hard to sign them and attract them to Montreal or any place for that matter as unrestricted free agents unless you're a top contending team, and you have to draft them. And when you have the opportunity to draft the best consensus center in the draft, whether it's third overall or fifth or sixth, you know, the Canadians tried to trade down and hope that they could still get him. But, you know, they must have seen what Arizona was going to do in drafting Barrett Hayden and knowing that they definitely wanted a centerman. And they said, okay, you know, we're not going to be able to trade down and have a guarantee that we can get him. And they snagged him at third. And, well, I mean, can you find a player in this draft class that's been more impactful so far? You know, Pettersson wasn't drafted in this most recent one. You know, Dahlin certainly playing great in Buffalo, but the guy that everyone was freaking out about that the Canadians didn't take was Philip Zadina, including Zadina himself, who said he intends to fill Ottawa's net and Montreal's net with Brady Tkachuk going there. Well, you know, he's in the AHL and developing, and that's great. And look at where Kotkaniemi is right now. The kid has been outstanding so far.
Sportsnet 650.